This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Nearly 20 years ago, there was a Christian music song that captivated the world of weddings, and it was by a Christian artist. I'm not making this name up. His name is Bebo Norman, and the song was called A Page Is Turned. The song wove together God's work in both a boy who grew into a groom and a girl who blossomed into a bride, and now a page was turned in their life as this boy made that girl his wife, and the God of second chances would shower grace on their lives as he had done before. That was the whole song. This song came to mind for me this week as I was thinking about turning the page that we've been reading in this love story in the book of Acts between God and his people. And the page is turned. So what's going to emerge now? What's going to happen now? It seems like with the Holy Spirit, nothing would be impossible for Jesus as he builds his church. And so we ended chapter 2 last time seeing a progress report. And we've seen a lot so far in this book, right? Jesus is building his church. He's alive. He's giving them direction. And he's beckoning them into mission. He ascends to heaven in chapter 1 and focuses all of our attention on the mission, gives us direction. And then in chapter 2 last time, we saw the Holy Spirit mysteriously settle on these people. And the Holy Spirit empowered their witness, and he made them a people that blessed those around them. That was how we ended in Acts 2. All the people around them, the community was blessed. They found favor among all the people. And like me, you may wonder, well, what does that really look like? And that's where we're headed this morning, as the page is turned. So what do you have to give to our community? And I'm not just talking about our community of faith, although that's certainly true on one level. If you're giving the world out of the abundance of your awesomeness, then you're probably going to reach a dead end. And some of us have reached that, right? There may be some in this room who've experienced that. You've given and given, and the world just takes and takes. And there's times when our efforts to do good in the community are more about us than about God. And the result of that is usually burnout. We're just done. We can't do anymore. We're finished. And today, we're even going to get some clarity on that. And it's a good reminder that we have to have faith to pass it on. Like, we're giving out of the abundance of what God has done in our lives. That's how we're reaching out to the community. And so today, the hope is that maybe for some of us in this room, God would turn the light of faith on. We don't have that, and we need it. As a church, though, we're called to be witnesses. The real action that happens in our lives doesn't merely happen on Sunday mornings in our gatherings together, although those are significant, right? But the real action for our lives when it comes to being witnesses is in the messiness of the rest of our week. So our gatherings, yes, in large and small groups throughout the week, those encourage our hearts. So I hope you come in every Sunday just spent, and I hope you walk out like invigorated somehow. I hope you walk into your small group and just say, I've had enough. And then that small group's able to build you up and you're able to fight another day, you know. That's what God's given us for. But we have been made for mission. And so today I want to invite you into some good curiosity. How might God be shaping us through this book to be about his good in the community? That's the question in today's passage. So I invite you to join me as we see two aspects of how the church blesses those around them. And let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So, two aspects of how the church blesses those around them. And first of all, what we see here in these first 10 verses is the church blesses those around them as the church gives people what they have. We give to our community what we have. So we're told at the end of chapter 2 that signs and wonders were being done by the apostles, and this led to awe among the congregation. And look, obviously, they gave the world what they had. And who did they have? They had people like Peter and John who were going up to the temple to pray. And they immediately met this man who was lame from birth being carried. And he laid daily at this beautiful gate of the temple to ask for alms from those who were entering. And seeing Peter and John, he asked to receive some money from them. And Peter, in turn, gives what he has, which I've called hope for healing. Peter actually heals him. But as we think about a church reaching out to the community, we hope for healing. He didn't have silver and gold to give, but he did have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through his veins, and he healed this leper in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, telling the man, he says, rise up and walk. He offered the man a hand up, and the man was raised up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and at this the man gives what he has. And what does that man have now? Joy. He is thrilled, right? He entered the temple and was walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw the healed lame man and remembered that he was the beggar, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So that's the story. That's the rundown. And you're well aware, right, that Jesus healed in the same manner. He gave sight to the blind. He gave the ability to hear. He gave the lame the ability to walk. This was a prophecy that was fulfilled from the prophet Isaiah. So in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, we're told that then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and then the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So here's how one commentator describes how this is all being fulfilled and what's going on. Shows us what God was doing here. And he asks, what do we contribute to this beautiful outcome? We contribute blindness and deafness and lameness and silence. And what does God contribute? Sight, sound, agility, and joyful song. And we know, the commentator says, maybe you know how Charles Wesley described the impact of the gospel, which we sang this morning as we opened our service. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. This is what God does. It is his professional business to make spiritual cripples into world beaters, and his motivating power is joy. It's joy. So church, we can bless the community that we live in the same way. We can give them what we have. And what do we have? Well, we have a room full of people, right? I wonder what the impact would be in our community if every single person in this room was resourced in all kinds of ways for the good of our community. What if we all did that? What would be the impact of that? And we have gospel hope for healing. Now you might think, well, I can't go down and zap a leper like this guy. You don't need to, right? We have hope of healing. We have amazing truth in the gospel. I mean, just think about this. Whether there's a physical condition that's paralyzing you, or an emotional undoing, or a crippling past, Jesus Christ of Nazareth can help others today. So, I mean, we can give them hope because of what the gospel can do in hearts. Peter and John didn't have silver and gold, but there's many of us in this room who do. And we can resource that for the good of our community to bless them. And we have joy. The psalmist says, in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures evermore. So while the world bases its joy in the circumstances of the here and now, we have joy beyond the here and now. Like Moses, we consider the reproach of Christ greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt because we know that there's a reward coming for us. So are you looking for ways to bless our community? Are you on the lookout for those? Well, it starts just by giving what we have. And then secondly and finally, and I know I got to rush, We bless those around us as we explain to people what we have. So we don't just give them what we have, we also explain to them why we have it. And this is what's going on in verses 11 through 26. So let me read that. Let's see how the rest of the story unfolds here, beginning in verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, that was the lame man, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we've made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the prophet, by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel in those days and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Now, I don't know if you're ready with that on the tip of your tongue next time somebody asks, so what's this all about? And you're just ready to go, well, let me tell you, boom, like Peter does here. But the point is, the church explains the hope that we have. We explain why we have it. So not only do we do the hand stuff, not only are we giving of ourselves for the good of the community, giving people what we have, we also get the privilege of explaining why we have it. And that's what's going on here in chapter 3. Peter's giving another speech. So Peter's spoken in chapter 1, he's spoken in chapter 2, and now in chapter 3 he's speaking again. And he focuses the attention on Jesus and him glorified. So this healed man is clinging to Peter and John, and Peter tries to give the people this explanation. Do you wonder what's going on here? That's what he asks. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one who sent Jesus, but you resisted him and put him to death. But God raised him from the dead. And now Peter's saying, John and I saw this. We're witnesses. And what we do with Jesus is about faith. It's faith in Jesus' name is what made this man well, and the faith that is through Jesus has made a profound difference in this lame beggar's life. So not only had Peter and John witnessed the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, now they had seen Jesus change this man's life. And so Peter's closing remarks get at repentance. His hearers shouldn't remain stubborn. God's fulfilled all of his promises in Jesus, and they need to turn from their sin to God through him. This is going to bring refreshing and restoration, just like the prophet said. And speaking of the prophets, they're important to listen to, right? That's part of Peter's point here. The message of the prophets and the covenant have culminated so that all the families of the earth will be blessed in Jesus, and that's why he came, that we might be blessed and turned from our wickedness. So it's just a basic explanation from Peter here. Peter's explanation invites people to hope into the hope that the church has, right? They have all kinds of hope because Jesus and how he's risen from the dead and how life is different because of him. And he's inviting people into that. And we get that same privilege. If you're slow on the uptake here on a Sunday morning, this is the you are my witnesses part. We get to explain to the world the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. So we need both of these things. We need open hands of service, giving the world what we have in Jesus. And we need our explanation that unpacks our blessings the unpacks the blessings that he's given to us. Both of those work hand in hand. You try to go blast somebody with the gospel and you don't have any hands on it of service around them, they're going to be like, what are you up to, weirdo? This is crazy. And if you do all hands work and never get to the gospel, well, there's humanitarian agencies that do that, right? So we need both of those things. We need to give them what we have, and we need to explain to them why we have it, and they go together. So that's the simple outline in chapter 3. Two aspects of how the church blesses those around them. The church gives people what they have. The church explains to people why they have it. So as we close, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? He was sent from heaven for us and has made a difference in so many of our lives. He lived a perfect life. He never disobeyed his Father. He was put to death in the place of sinners like us, and he rose from the dead. And that's what Peter's saying. We serve a risen Savior. And so today, will you turn from whatever you're building your life on to him? It's in Jesus that all your shame, all your guilt, all your separation are taken away, and you become children of God, dearly loved. So will you believe in him? This is the blessing that's come through Jesus to all the people of the earth. Will you believe it? And as a church, let's give people what we have out of this reality of faith. May we be known as a giving community. Later on in the book of Acts, Peter's going to tell the Ephesian elders. He's going to tell them something that Paul's going to tell the Ephesian elders something that we don't have recorded in any gospel, but allegedly Jesus said. And so because an apostle's saying this, we know. Yeah, Jesus said that. And what does he say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And man, what if we were known as a giving community? What if we gave our people to the community for its good? What if we dispersed gospel hope everywhere we went? That no matter if we're dealing with someone who's stuck in the midst of trauma or stuck in the midst of just physical, just frustration, or emotional undoing, that we're just stepping into those situations with love and with gospel hope. And what if we did all that with joy? Wouldn't the world look at that and say, what kind of people are you? This is weird. So let's do that. May we be known as a giving community. And let's be faithful witnesses as well. Let's explain the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. So let's bless those around us, and as we do, we'll be a church and a people that glorify and enjoy God forever. Let me pray. God, thank you for this, and work this in our hearts. We want to be this kind of community to the world. We want to give them what you've given us. We want to give them what we have. And we want to explain to them the reason we have it. And so would you work this in our hearts that we could walk in your ways and live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.